Apologies for that bit of additional Lenten penance of having to stand for a rather long gospel reading. I have to do it again next week as well, at the whole of the story of the raising of Lazarus. Any of you who read my blog, and I know some of you do, even though it's mainly written for my friends and family back in Britain, will have seen a picture of an artistic relief on a building in Namaskar, I think you pronounce it, between the lovely renovated building that belongs to Česká spořitelna bank, where they have the expat centre that help me bank in English, that leads up to the bottom of Václavský náměstí, or Wenceslas Square, adjacent to one of the innumerable entrances to the Mostek metro station. There is this lovely artistic relief on this building, which mystified Sybil and I as we walked past it several times, until about the third time the penny dropped. It's a relief picture of Samuel, the high priest, anointing David as king. If you look at it, Samuel is there in his high priestly outfit, his turban and everything else. And there is David sort of kneeling down, looking like little more than a toddler, actually, which is a bit inappropriate for somebody who would go out and look after his father's sheep. Samuel was, of course, a godly man. And as we heard in our first reading, does God's bidding, despite the danger that Saul might find out what he's up to. Yet, when he comes and finds the family of Jesse and wants to anoint the new king of Israel, like so many of us, he's influenced by good looks and outward appearances. Jesse's eldest son, Eliab, passes by. He's tall, he's good looking. No doubt, if you put it in 21st century terminology, he had a nice six-pack. Surely this is the one, Samuel thinks, that God has chosen. But God spoke to Samuel and said, "For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." The Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Of course, right down the centuries, there's been a concern for how people look. Sadly, our present-day society is obsessed with it. We have the celebrity culture. Some people, politicians in particular and others, hire image consultants. The great demand for plastic surgery. And as Christians, it's so easy to get caught up with the same sort of view of how people look and to make assessments of others purely based on appearance. But as the Lord reminds Samuel in our first reading, that is not the way that God works. God is interested in who we are, not how we look. Yet it is so easy to misjudge someone purely based upon looks. If you've read the piece that I wrote, you will know it is a story about a visitor who wandered into this church probably about 10 months ago, soon after the service had begun, as people do when we have the door open. We get people wandering in at the back. I see it more than you do, because you're all facing this way. And then, usually after a few minutes, and they look around and realize it's an English service, they walk out again. But this young lady came in, and I thought, typical tourist, she'll go away in a few minutes, but sat down and came through the whole service and came up and received communion. And I looked at her and made the very dangerous judgment of a woman's age, which is a fatal thing to do, thinking we're somewhere in her 50s, and yet she was wearing ankle boots and a skirt which was finishing rather short. And I thought, you know, she's just a typical tourist. But she came on to coffee hour and spoke with her. And in a good Antipodean accent, she said she was Dawn from Ballarat in Victorian Australia, but she regularly went to church. She'd put English-speaking church into Google the night before to find somewhere to worship in Prague, and how much she'd enjoyed the service, etc., etc. And I was voluntarily rebuked myself for misjudging somebody. She had come to worship. God had seen her heart. I had judged by outward appearance. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. We come, of course, then to our gospel reading. And it opens with the disciples making a judgment about this blind man. Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? They ask Jesus. It was a common belief in Jewish society of the day that suffering was God's judgment, sometimes to the third or fourth generation. And therefore, this gap was blind, it must be his fault or his parents. It was God's judgment upon him. And Jesus very firmly says, it wasn't him or his parents, neither of them. Neither this man nor his parents sinned. We are, of course, facing the difficult question of suffering. And some suffering can be directly related to the person's own actions. The drunk driver who crashes into a tree and injures or kills himself clearly suffers as a result of his own wrong actions. But often it is the innocent who suffer. And that, of course, is a big issue in its own right. And I don't intend to go all the way into that difficult issue here today, but we do need to think about it and address it. But what I do want to draw from the beginning of the gospel reading is it's a warning against, once more, jumping to simplistic conclusions when facing up to the problem of suffering. Conclusions, once again, based on outward appearances, rather than being willing to listen and to dig deeper. Because often within suffering, God is at work. And we need to have eyes that see that God is at work, often in difficult situations. Here, Jesus is going to bring about healing, and as so often in John's Gospel, then teach from that incident and give us greater and deeper truths. And therefore, don't jump to the simple conclusion, this man sinned or his parents. No, no, let's look and see where God is at work, even when addressing the issue and problems of suffering. And the third and final seeing issue that I find in these two passages, I would draw from the latter part of the discourse, the latter part of John chapter 9, that follows the miracles. The Jews, the religious leaders, or the Pharisees, they have two problems with what Jesus has done, with what has happened. The healing has taken place on the Sabbath. And the second problem that they have is they don't know where Jesus comes from. In other words, he's not of the right stock, doesn't have the right credentials, he didn't go to the right rabbinic school. Therefore, in their thinking, Jesus cannot be a prophet, yet alone the Messiah or the Christ. Sometimes it does take a child or a person with what we may to us seem a very simple faith to help us see that God is at work when we cannot see it because it doesn't fit into our own belief framework. The blind man, if you'll excuse the obvious pun, can see it, literally. All I can tell you, he says, once I was blind, but now I can see. If this man was not from God, he could do nothing. He gives some good teaching to the religious leaders of the day. Whilst it is good to have a framework for our own beliefs, which should basically, of course, be the historic creeds, and we will recite the Nicene Creed in a moment. Often consciously or subconsciously, we add things. Particularly, we can often think God can't work through him or her because he isn't one of us. But God can and does move in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. And we need to ask God to help us see more clearly where he is at work. Because sometimes we miss it because it doesn't fit into our own framework of how we believe that he does work. And so on this fourth Sunday in Lent, as I explained in my end of week message, sometimes known as Refreshment Sunday because it's the middle Sunday within Lent. I should also have added, by the way, that my good friend Marshall sent me an email saying, well, often on this Sunday they use the liturgical colour pink, but we don't have it, and that's quite true. But Marshall came in a pink shirt instead, so I thought that was good liturgical colour for today. I think the origin, as I was saying to Marshall before the service, is that this Sunday usually comes quite close to the Feast of the Annunciation on the 25th of March, hence the pink. But anyway, on this Refreshment Sunday, Sunday in the middle of Lent, let us reflect again on these readings. Let us not make instant judgments based on outward appearances, because the Lord doesn't look on the outside, he looks on the heart. Or make simplistic conclusions when faced with human suffering, but rather dig deeper to see God is there at work. And then thirdly, be open and willing to see God at work in ways that are sometimes outside our own framework of belief. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.